This is KVNF's regional newscast for Monday, June 14th, 2021. I'm Gavin Dahl. Yesterday morning, a live military-grade grenade was found in a home in Lake City. The Hinsdale County Sheriff's Office was called. They cleared the area and brought in an explosive ordnance disposal team from Fort Carson. That team collected the live grenade at 8 p.m. to dispose of safely. No one was injured. Some residents received an emergency alert warning to avoid the area, while others complained on social media they didn't know until after the grenade was removed. City of Delta staff are in discussions to move the library so that the Sheriff's Department can take over that building. The Delta County Independent reports staff received a quote for an independent assessment of the old City Market building up for sale by the school district to determine if the library and the Sheriff's Department could co-locate there. Governor Jared Polis has signed a bill that will soon pave the way for Colorado to distribute billions in federal coronavirus relief money. Overall, the state is getting $3.8 billion from the American Rescue Plan. Polis says Senate Bill 288 sets aside $380 million for multimodal transportation projects.
We're finally going to fix the damn roads here in Colorado. It's about time. Congratulations.
The state has yet to decide how to spend hundreds of millions of other relief dollars on mental health and housing efforts. The legislature is going to meet in committee and take public input this summer to come up with a plan. Last week, House Bill 1250 passed the General Assembly, and it's on its way to the governor for a signature. The bill deals with police accountability and includes an amendment advocated by the Colorado Broadcasters Association, of which KVNF is a member. The CBA advocated for the inclusion of a bipartisan radio encryption amendment. Some law enforcement agencies have been encrypting their dispatch radio transmissions, removing an important resource for broadcast media. Dispatch radio provides real-time, verifiable info for the press and the public. The state legislatures of Colorado and Nevada are the latest to approve bans of most racialized mascots in public schools. Mountain West News Bureau's Savannah Marr reports.
The American Psychological Association called for the retirement of Indian mascots 16 years ago, citing research by psychologists like Stephanie Freiberg. She says these mascots and the behavior they encourage in schools cause measurable harm to Native children's mental health and self-esteem.
You know, we're really playing with children's identities in a place that is so essential to life outcomes.
Freiberg credits the Black Lives Matter movement for sparking the retirement of the Washington, D.C. NFL team's mascot. Erin Payment, vice president of the National Congress of American Indians, says a small wave of school mascot retirements and statewide bans has followed.
We see it as dominoes falling from an earlier racist era, but we're still not there.
Nearly 2,000 American schools still use Indian mascots, including more than 100 across every state in our region. Colorado and Nevada schools with Native mascots now have a year to change them unless they reach an agreement with federally recognized tribes. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Savannah Marr.
When KVNF News interviewed Montrose School District Superintendent Carrie Stevenson, she mentioned changing the mascots of a middle school and a high school here could cost the district $750,000. Water supplies are so tight in the West that many states keep close watch over every creek, river, ditch, and reservoir. A complex web of laws and rules makes sure water is put to use. To prevent any waste, Colorado has started cracking down on what may seem like a drop in the proverbial bucket. From KUNC, Luke Runyon explains.
Martin Mendine's family ranch is a wide, grassy expanse near southern Colorado's Spanish Peaks. A fork of the Purgatory River meanders through the land, which supports about 100 cattle and herds of elk. Migratory sandhill cranes pass through each year.
And in the summer, you'll get lightning bugs right in here.
It's wet enough to support all this life, in part because of a cascade of five small ponds, held in place by dams made of dirt. The ponds are more than 80 years old, he says. They were built when his grandfather tended the ranch.
So we've been running this water now for, you know, damn near a century, and they're telling me I can't use it.
They is the state of Colorado. Mendine got a notice recently saying the ponds have been identified as potentially illegal. It says the water rights to create them don't exist. And to be compliant, he either needs to drain them or come up with a state-approved plan to fill them from a different water source.
It came to about $10,000 to $15,000 a year per pond to keep them. I don't have that kind of scratch. I'm just trying to water some cattle up here, you know?
To him, it seems like a lot of noise over a few tiny ponds.
It just doesn't seem like it would be even worth their time.
Our basin's been over-appropriated for a long period of time.
That's Bill Tyner. He's Colorado's division engineer for the Arkansas River Basin, where Mendine's ranch is located.
Meaning that our natural water supplies are, generally speaking, always less than the demand for water in the Arkansas Basin.
Tyner says the state has identified about 10,000 illegal ponds just in his region. He likens it to a string of pearls. Each pearl isn't that valuable or consequential on its own, but when pulled together, it can be worth thousands.
The number of ponds was overwhelming to the point that we could not afford to not address the situation. We just had to take action.
His office is now in the midst of a systematic review of all ponds in the Arkansas Basin, everything from pools for livestock watering to decorative fountains in business parks. The problem, Tyner says, is evaporation. Water in a shallow pond evaporates more than when it's flowing through a narrow stream. And the state views evaporated water as wasted water.
Some of these bigger ponds can create some awfully big depletions, and the cumulative effect of thousands of them produces a problem.
When the state starts coming for your pond, often the first call is to a water lawyer, like attorney Matt Machado of the Front Range firm Lyons Gaddis.
Some of the landowners that have ponds down there they're in a tough spot.
A recent dispute over ponds went all the way to the state Supreme Court last year, where the state prevailed. The ponds in question were drained, and the owner was ordered to pay almost $100,000 in fines. Machado's takeaway from that ruling?
You know, once the state finds an illegal pond and says you need to drain it, you better do it.
Martin Mendine understands that the little ponds on his ranch are part of a much bigger watershed.
And I am more than willing to work. I'm malleable. I'll work with them and do whatever I can.
But he says drying up the ponds will deprive his cattle of water. That'll hurt the tenant rancher who looks after them and his ability to sell them. Without the ponds, the ranch's viability is uncertain, he says.
If you're going to take my lifeblood, I've got a problem with you.
Mendine says he's still looking at different legal avenues to keep the ponds, but hasn't yet retained a lawyer. I'm Luke Runyon in Weston, Colorado.
This story is part of ongoing coverage of water in the West, produced by KUNC and supported by the Walton Family Foundation. That does it for Monday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.